your band Moses. Who chose Moses as the name? How did that come about? And then in that, your church background probably should be talked about.
Well, I grew up in the Baptist church. Another one of my first memories is we'd moved back to the farm after Tulsa, Oklahoma City, and had built on to the little house where we first lived when I was a baby. I mean, I'm still eight, you know, I'm still a baby. But anybody driving up's entertainment, too. We didn't have entertainment, so, gee, somebody's coming to see us. And it was a preacher from the Glencoe Baptist Church doing what he does, outreach, going out and seeing people, Brother Ray Hart. He talked my dad and mom into going to church. Then the next thing I know, well, your mother and I joined that church down there a week or two later. So we started going to church. There you go, life-changing, really life-changing. So at age 9, I joined that church, still a member. Ray Hart, still my favorite preacher, just a fireball of a guy, a little tiny church, but did a lot of woos and slapping the podium. They became pretty tight, and my dad entered his, I don't want to say his religious period, but we were into it, and my dad was into it. Great time for me. I loved it. And the preacher, Ray Hart, started coming out here. He was an old-fashioned guy, really old-fashioned guy. Wood stove, which I'm telling you, we have a wood stove. We can't wait till it gets cold every winter. My dad was pretty tight, I guess, but when he bought something, he tended to try to buy the best thing he could buy. Before he died, he bought a great wood stove, and Charlene and I love it. I saw her this morning early as we were getting ready for you, and she's going, I'm going to build a fire. It works so great. But anyway, Ray Hart, seemed funny to me that a guy's heating his house with a wood stove. But he was, and he would come out and cut wood on our place because we have lots of oaks, you know, scrub oak stuff. He moved with a trailer that you saw when you drove up, a little trailer made out of an old Ford pickup. That's how he moved to Glencoe when he put his stuff in there and moved. My dad and he would chop wood in it and haul it back to his house in Glencoe now that he was the preacher down there and they lived down there. Then my dad bought that trailer from him. He carried it to sell cookware. And when Charlene and I moved here, it's still here, and it's just one of my favorite things. So grew up in the church and never left me. And, you know, the Baptist hymnal really is country music. That's what it is. It's as close to it as you can get. Whether you believe in the content, which I happen to believe in the content, or you don't, the music is great. Everybody's influenced by gospel music, be it white, sort of that quartet southern gospel singing, which is more like the Baptist hymnal. Or black church, which Leon was exposed to, too, and then I was later. But I got it through Little Richard and stuff. It's not such a distant cousin from the Baptist hymnal. So all of that's important. And then along comes Bob Dylan. You know, he did have his famous Christian period, which is being talked about a lot right now because they just reissued those years of his Christian records, his gospel records. The music is valid even if you don't believe what's behind the music, which I happen to do.
Right.
The Old Testament is fabulous, though, for content and the poetry of it filtered through England. I'm talking about the King James Version. So along comes Bob, and we've got stories like Frankie Lee and Judas Priest, and I Dreamed I Saw St. Augustine, and on an earlier record, he's got a song called When the Ship Comes In, which I always thought was metaphorical for the coming of the Messiah or the second coming, either way you want to look at it. One of my favorite gospel songs, and there's no hint of it. I never asked him if he meant it that way, but that's the way I hear it. I'm pretty anti-symbolic stuff. You know, I don't believe in covert plots and sort of hidden messages. It's sort of a reactionary thing, but through the 80s, the term backwards masking was big because the preachers on TV were claiming that all the rock and roll records had satanic messages embedded in it and subliminal and backwards masking, and you play them backwards. I hate that stuff. I'm entertained by it, but I hate it. So back to Bob and Moses. I'm in college now. I've fallen in love. He is my teacher, Bob Dylan, in my mind. We didn't play that many Bob Dylan songs, but I'm just trying to be, in some fashion, Bob Dylan. So I read everything, you know, Nat Hentoff, and a lot of people famously wrote about Bob at the time. And I'd go to the library and dig it all up and do my own research. The joke I'd say the joke on me, but the joke on them too, you know, that thing of people writing their thesis on two lines of a Bob Dylan song to overstate it really got under my skin, because I clung to a phrase of Bob in an interview where he said, my songs don't mean anything, they're just words that sound good to say. And I like that. Now, I know they have meaning, so I, as a would-be poet, songwriter, I then think you write something and you step back. Bob's famous movie called Don't Look Back. You don't look back, but you step back, and then perhaps you do see something in it, whether you're making it up or not. I'm rambling, but I'll get to it. The monkey and the paintbrush, where you give a monkey a paintbrush and let him have a go at the canvas, a lot of people can't tell that from some Picasso or something. And then I'll throw in a thing that is maybe a confession, but it's true. I would be apt to pick the monkey. Not picking on abstract artists, but I not only see that as a true thing in life, I'm apt to pick the monkey in the paintbrush. So you step back and you can see a lot. And then, philosophically, even stepping back from what I just said, you step back and you see a lot in life. You see how it comes together. And whether your brain is seeking to put that order out of chaos and make something up that isn't there, I do not know. I just believe that I don't, as a rule, and I don't think Bob did as a rule, and I don't think Woody did as a rule, though more than Bob, sit down to say something and then just make it rhyme. I think the gift that Bob has that I aspire to, the rhyming or the songwriting or the thing that sounds good, the phrasing, whatever, then shifting that so that it says something people might want to hear. A humanities professor sat me down one time and had read something I'd turned in, and he said, you want to be a writer of some kind? He said, you should write about what you are. You should write about Glencoe. Write about whatever you are and quit trying to do whatever else. Whew, what great wisdom that was to impart to me. So that is running through me and running through the people I listen to. And I never strayed from it, never hid from it, never ran from it, coupled with, gee, that stuff in the Bible is written so great that if I find an opportunity or just take advantage of it every once in a while to just quote something pretty much from the Bible, well, it's poetry-wise or in some fashion going to be great. It's already great. You don't have to give somebody writer's credit. I'd be happy to, but the world's full of people who will sue you for anything. But anyway, there it is. So it's a great trick, a great valid trick. And then just perhaps there's that whole thing behind it, which I happen to believe in God. You slip it in there and it is your own, not subliminal message, but it's direct. It's just laying it out there for people to right. grasp. Moses, it was a trend of the day. Bands had kind of one name. When I was a kid, my best friend had a band called The Coachman. I joined a band from Stillwater. It's my first time of really leaving the farm. The Innkeepers, they needed a bass player, and I played bass, and then, to be honest with you, took over, but we're still good friends, the ones that are still alive. The Coachman and The Innkeepers, that was a trend in Stillwater. I don't really know why. Then psychedelia came along, and this and that, and this and that. I remember when we're traveling the car back from a gig in Shawnee and we landed on Moses, but exactly why I do not remember. One word, encapsulated stuff. It was a shift to something bigger than the Innkeepers. We were on local TV a lot back then, the Ronnie Kay show on WKY, and like his version of American Bandstand. And also Danny Williams was a hero of mine and had a TV show called Danny's Day.
I've interviewed Danny, and yeah. He is on our website.
Breaking off partially, as they said, in Great Expectations, to point out you don't have to put the whole knife in your mouth when you're eating. The guy's teaching Pip some manners. But you have to look that reference up. Only breaking off to say that I still have a recurring dream of Danny Williams. I love WKY so much. It so informed my life. I'm getting my degree in radio and TV. I'm on TV all the time with Ronnie and Danny. I'm going up to see them do the radio shows, and a guy named Terry McGrew is on WKY and just one of those early radio disc jockeys that just, you know, I just loved him. He was my brother. I was a little brother, of course, but he taught me a lot, and I'm hanging around. And I still have a recurring dream. I drive up to WKY, and the booth is, it isn't really, but the booth you can see from the parking lot. And I walk up, it's dark, and it's 3 in the morning, and Danny Williams is doing his show. But Danny was good to us, and so was Ronnie Kay, and so was Terry McGrew. So I'm hanging around all those people that just shifted from the teeny bopper thing to this, I don't know, 60s deal. And bands that were coming to Stillwater and play, I can't remember them now, had odd names. One of them was Large Trucks was the name of the band. Odd name, but I thought that's great. It's kind of funny and too odd for me. But we landed on Moses, and we've been doing the Ronnie Kay show and the Danny Williams show as the innkeepers. It's plagued me all my life through the tractors it did. I'm the singer and everything, but I like the concept of everybody playing at once, like the band did with Bob, where you're just out there and the drummer's not stuck back in a cubicle. But they gravitated towards being Steve Ripley and the innkeepers. I don't think the guys in my band resented it too much. The guys in the tractors did, maybe, perhaps. I don't know. It wasn't something they would tend to think I thought that was great. And the opposite was happening. I just hated it. So I thought, in my mind, as really a young guy, Moses would be less likely to be Steve Ripley and Moses instead of Steve Ripley and the innkeepers. That became a thing, you know. So let's put that to bed, says I.
Plus, you were grasping onto a well-known name, so you had identification.
Yeah, so it's got a name
already.
It's better than Large Trucks. Sorry, whoever's in that band.
Right.